lawyers.com. O'Reilly Stevens Lawyers. It's the confidence of experience.
Well, from lobster sandwiches for lunch to showering under a bucket, living in a lighthouse in the early 1960s would be such a wonderful experience in so many ways, but also very, very challenging. A regular listener and a regular guest on 4CA, she was on with John McKenzie just yesterday. My special guest this morning is Anne from West Cork. Good morning, Anne. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Murray. I'm doing well, thanks.
Always wonderful to talk to you, and I'm always in trouble for saying that you've got such a royal-sounding name. That's why I always call you Queen Anne of Westcourt, but you're far more self-deprecating than take those royal title, I should imagine.
Yes, I am.
Let's talk about your early married life. It was not long after you married that you went off to spend many years living on lighthouses right around the tropical north. Tell me how it started, Anne.
Well, how it started has to go a little bit further back. I was working for the Department of Harbours and Marine. Captain Barnes was my boss, the harbour master of Cairns. We were engaged to be married, and one day he said to me, he said, "What a shame you're not married." He said, "There's a lighthouse position going at Cape Cleveland outside of Townsville." He said, "You guys would be good on lighthouse stations." And I spoke to my husband-to-be. He applied for it, and we were lucky to get a posting to Low Isles 19 days after we were married. Now, I must admit, they probably wouldn't have let me go to the lighthouses stations if I hadn't married him. So that was probably the first step.
So that basically got you into the situation where you got the gold band and managed to go and spend. I mean, what a wonderful honeymoon that would have been, 19 days on Low Isles back in the late 1950s.
Well, we were married 19 days and then we went to Low Isles and we were there for 3 months on that tropical paradise.
And you talk about some further time that you spent there on Low Isles. In particular, the view that you had from the toilet. Tell me about that.
Well, in those days, of course, every toilet was sort of the backyard toilet, yeah, the same as on lighthouse stations. Now, ours faced the mainland, and, I mean, if you look from Low Isles back to the coastline, I mean, the view's spectacular. So I always felt it was the toilet with the million-dollar view.
Yeah, sure. People would pay very, very, very large amounts of money to have such a toilet these days. What I'm really interested to find out about is the day-to-day living, food. I mean, you were so isolated from society. You had supply ships that would come on regular intervals, but there were long periods there where you basically had to rely on stores, but also you had a supply of fresh food that you could rely on as well.
Well, Murray, I think the main thing was to realise that the entire freezing compartment of that little refrigerator was 3 ice cube trays.
Oh,
now,
no.
Supplies came once a fortnight.
Yum.
So, of course, you couldn't keep much in 3 ice cube trays. So you really had to rely on the catch of fish and later on crayfish sort of thing to be able to survive.
And would you regularly be able to get fish, or were there some times when you basically were not able to get fish?
Well, Murray, you probably covered all bases. Now, in your pantry, you probably had much more tinned food to what we do here in suburbia. And, of course, you had spaghetti. So if you didn't catch fish, you didn't have any fresh meat, you just had to make do with what you had.
And I gather you would have done a lot of cooking as well, because sometimes you actually had some of the lighthouse staff come and stay with you for a couple of days, so you'd be required to do quite a bit of cooking from time to time.
Well, Murray, because I didn't have to teach children, I didn't have anyone old enough, mechanics often stayed for a fortnight, and of course they would have to board with you. So you were able to provide 3 meals a day and 2 lots of smoko, but again, you couldn't store very much, so it was the matter of, well, making scones for morning tea, biscuits for afternoon tea sort of thing, and just tried to cope the best way you could. But, I mean, given that, you had a good opportunity to get to know these mechanics who stayed.
Did you ever have any cooking disasters where you'd planned a meal or something special and it all went wrong?
Yes, Murray, I had one trying to... ice a batch of lamingtons. We had our own chickens, so I had a lovely sponge cake made, iced the lamingtons, and just cleaning up, licked my finger and found that I had flavoured that icing with Gravox instead of cocoa.
Oh, no.
So, fortunately, I had tasted it. Otherwise, I would have served those. But anyway, we gave the lamingtons a decent burial at sea, and I produced a packet of shortbread biscuits.
Now, what about encounters with wildlife? You'd probably see some all types of beautiful wildlife, birds, but you'd probably see some, you know, some scary ones from time to time, did you?
Well, Murray, probably the scariest thing and the way you learnt to live with it, Booby Island, north of here and west of Thursday Island, it was alive with centipedes. So you had to be very careful not to leave your shoes down, centipede get into them, not to have clothes on the floor. And our eldest daughter, when she slept in her cot, her net was tied up so nothing touched the floor.
Yeah, that's a bit concerning. Now, having very young children, that would present challenges. What would you do if the children became sick? Because children become sick.
Well, Murray, you would probably find lighthouse children relatively healthy until someone comes on the island with a cold or such like, because you're immune to it. But there was a two-way radio, and all you could do was ring up. You would be able to speak to a doctor. There was a first aid kit and some medication there. But if things couldn't be diagnosed over the radio, which would be very hard both ends, you really had to wait until you could get a boat out to take the child to town. And that is probably one of the scariest things of having children on lighthouse stations.
But it would have been an idyllic lifestyle for them, the freedom and, I guess, the ability to spend time with
Murray,
like that.
You are probably right in many ways, but my husband and I always decided that our children wouldn't grow up in isolation. You have to mix socially with others of your own age to fit in, and we had a long-time plan. No, we weren't going to make a career of it. Just some years, save some money, and move back into society. And I have since met a lad who grew up on the lights, and he joined the Navy, and he told me once he was always an outsider because he hadn't learnt to socialise with people of his own age.
Interestingly, I'd like to actually read a poem that you wrote years later after living on the lighthouses. One Mother's Day, you wrote, "There once was a new mother, baby in one hand, childcare book in other. Back to our island home for us to raise a child without any fuss. Trials and errors, joys and tears, how quickly went those early years. Common sense won the day, I threw the book away. I became a confident mother, happy child holding my hand, no book in other." So you really had to survive, didn't you?
Well, Murray, you probably, as I say, just common sense. Common sense. And, of course, in many ways, I was probably very lucky. I didn't have too many people around who said, you should do this, you should do that, and everything didn't click. So you used your own common sense and initiative, and you battled through.
Now, you spent some time on Low Isles, also on Booby Island and Fitzroy Island just off Cairns. There was another island as well. Good Island it was, wasn't it?
Good Island, yes.
And tell me, of those, you know, four completely different locations, which one brings back the best memories for you, Anne?
Probably Booby Island, and mainly because we were on that island for about 3 years. But it is very isolated. It's 90% rock, and but it had... It just had so much significance in it that it was named by Captain Cook. It's riddled with caves. There were plenty of crayfish and fish. We didn't eat too many spaghetti sandwiches in those days. And you made your own bread and you had crayfish sandwiches for lunch. And, of course, we had a cat who'd followed us around the island at night or late afternoon. He would chase the seagulls away and polish off their catch. But what was nice about that, Murray, was watching the sun set into the sea of an evening, and there was palm tree in the foreground, and look, it was just a living picture.
On that note...
So, of course,
Anne, that's just such a wonderful story. It really is. I've really enjoyed talking to you this morning. I'm sure we'll talk again. There's so many more things that we can talk about, but thank you so much for your time and giving us a bit of insight to life, especially in those earlier days of the 1960s of living on a lighthouse. I'll let you go.
Thank you. Thank you, Murray. It was nice to speak to you.
She's just wonderful, an absolute delight. And imagine that, the trials and the tribulations, but I think a fantastic lifestyle for a limited time. It's Classic Hits 4CA and Australian Crawl.